That is my hope. That was beautiful. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I would like to just say how honored I am to have been asked to come. I truly thank you, Brother John, for having me. I know that you're very selective of who you invite to your pulpit, and it's just a true honor. Johnny and Rhonda, thank you for putting us up. Thank you for being so kind and such gracious hosts, and thank you all for everything, the food and everything. I want to bring your attention to three words in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23. We preach Christ. Aren't you glad? Aren't you so thankful for that? You know how many preachers don't preach Christ? You know, we could make that statement in a very arrogant way. We preach Christ. I think we ought to make that statement in a very humble and thankful way. Thank God. Thank God. We preach Christ. There are only two things that can be preached. Only two things. There are only two different messages that exist. Every church in Spring Lake, North Carolina, this morning, and every church in this nation, and every church all over this world is preaching one of two things. It's either Christ or man. Doesn't matter what the denomination is. You know, people ask me all the time, what denomination are you? It really doesn't matter. You know, we'll say one, and then religion ruins it, and then we'll call it another one, and religion ruins that. There's so many Sovereign Grace churches on sermon audio and that don't preach sovereign grace. It doesn't matter what doctrine a preacher, a church, a group of people claim. It doesn't matter what God men and women identify with. It's either Christ or man. It's one of two things, Christ or man. And more specifically, if it's not Christ alone, it's man. If it is not Christ all by himself, it's man. If it is Christ and man, it's man. If it's Christ and anything, it's man. In order to preach Christ, it must be Christ alone. It must be. And the truth of the matter is, the only message that saves is the message of Christ alone. Christ alone. The only message that is true, the only message that is the gospel, is the message of Christ alone. The message of man damns. Not only is it not the truth, and not only is it not the gospel, and not only is it not salvation, it's actually damnation. It's actually damnation. Look with me just a couple of pages over at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1 verse 6, Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So it's of critical, eternal importance that we preach and we hear and we believe the message of Christ. Christ. Now I'm going to expound on what that is, but if we want to get right to the heart of it, if we want to get right to the heart of it, if we want to know whether we are hearing the message of Christ or man, all we have to do is listen to the message. Now, I know it takes the Spirit of God to open deaf ears. I know it does. It takes the power of God to do this, but it comes through the declaration of truth. And here it is. If we want to know whether it's the message of Christ or man, all we have to do is listen to the message. That's all you have to do. Is it about Christ or man? Just listen to what the man's saying. Is the preacher talking about Christ or is he talking about man? Is the emphasis of the message put on Christ or is it put on man? Somebody will say, well, it's kind of both. Then it's man. Does the message have you thinking on and looking to, and I'm talking about for salvation. For salvation. Does the message have you thinking on and does it have you looking to Christ or man? What really is the focal point? What's the focal point? Men and women listen to whole messages week after week. They go listen to whole messages week after week on what man needs to do and how man needs to be. And they'll, you know, churches, places, whatever you want to call them, will have whole series of messages on how men can be better men and women can be better women. And they'll talk about how this is all in your hands, you know, and you need to look to you. And they'll talk about how if we come together, there's no telling what we can accomplish and all that kind of thing. That's man. That's man. Friday, I was driving down here and I was scrolling through the radio and a man was preaching, so I stopped. And he was preaching on the lust of the eyes. And he was saying, boy, we better get ourselves in check. We better stop being covetous and we need to, that's man. That's man. That's the message of man. Men and women listen to that, and it's so sad to me. This is why I preach, because it's so sad to me. Lord, have mercy on souls. Don't you wish the gospel could ring through all these dead buildings in town? And men could have their eyes open and women could have their hearts broken and souls could fall to their knees begging God for mercy? Don't you wish men and women could hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It breaks my heart for men and women. They listen to message after message having no idea they're listening to the message of man and missing the message of Christ. They have no idea. The story is told of a couple many, many years ago, the late 1800s. This was during the late 1800s. A man and a woman traveled to England. And while they were there, they wanted to hear Charles Spurgeon preach. It was at the time that he was alive, and they had heard about him, and they'd read his writings. And they wanted to go hear him preach in person. They knew he pastored that great metropolitan tabernacle. Thousands of people. And so they wanted to go hear him preach while they were there. And the Sunday morning they were there, they went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And it was so packed they couldn't get in. Can you imagine? We have our little building there in Kingsport at the moment. And our building uncomfortably holds 60 people. At our conference, we cram like sardines about 120 people in that place. Everywhere there's a spot, we cram somebody. I can imagine they were doing that. How amazing would it be if the Lord would send a revival and men and women were trying as hard as they could to get into a building to hear the gospel preached. But anyway, they went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle and they couldn't get in. It was so packed they couldn't get in. So they went down the street to another church. And the pastor there was a very well-educated man. Very well-educated. Very well-spoken. He was very charismatic. And when it was over, the man and the woman walked out of that place saying, "What a sermon! What a sermon! My, what a sermon!" That night, they went back to Metropolitan Tabernacle, and now they got in. Not as many people came Sunday night as Sunday morning, and they got in. And they sat down, and they heard Brother Spurgeon preach. And when the service was over, they both walked out of that place with tears running down their faces saying, "My, what a Savior. My soul, what a Savior." We hear the difference. By God's grace, by His goodness to us, by His mercy to us, we preach Christ. We preach Christ. How do we preach Christ? To say that we preach Christ, how do we preach Christ? I want to set forth five things that we preach in preaching the message of Christ. If we're really going to preach Christ, these things will be set forth, all right? What do we preach when we preach Christ? Number one, we preach the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not who the majority of people think He is. Not who the majority of people assume He is. We preach who He really is. We preach who He actually is, as He has declared Himself to be in His own Word. And to get right to the point, who is He? He's God. He is God Almighty. Men and women have it in their mind that they're trying to get to God, and they take God and set Him over here to the side. Jesus Christ, they think that's God's helper. Well, when you do that, you're missing God. You're worshiping an idol of your imagination. God Almighty, the greatest, the highest, sovereign over all things, the judge of the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. Let me show you that in Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says the same thing. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord." And that's capital L, lowercase O-R-D, the Lord Jesus Christ. "Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." When he says God, who's he talking about? He said me. Me. "At the announcement of his birth, the angel said, call his name Emmanuel, because God is with us." John chapter 1 says, "The Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Hebrews 1:8, "God the Father said to God the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." John 5:22 says, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." In Revelation 1:18, Christ said, "I hold the keys of hell and death." I'm God. It's all in my hand. Now, here is the contrast to that. As we go through these, I want to show the contrast between preaching Christ and preaching man. The contrast is, preaching man is when a preacher stands up and says, "This is all in your hands." Christ said, "This is all in my hands." But when a man stands up and says, "You have the ability to determine how the judgment's going to go." Now, how do you want the judgment to go? You have the ability to alter the judgment. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? No. We preach Christ as the God that He is. The question is, what is He going to do with us? That's the question. What is He going to do with us? So that's the first thing. We preach the person of Christ for who He truly is. The Almighty, Sovereign God manifest in the flesh. Number two, we preach the Word of Christ. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we don't have a packet up here that some guy came up with and then revised it and then revised it because they realize it's not that good really? Aren't you so glad we preach the Word of Christ? Martin Luther said, "Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for lack of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging Word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, His Word shall stand forever." We stick to the Word alone. We preach the Word of Christ. And more specifically than that, we preach the Word as Christ. We preach this Word as it is. It's of Christ. He wrote it. These are His words. But every word in this book is speaking of Him. This is the Word of Christ. This is the revelation of Christ. You know what the book of Revelation is all about? Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Same thing all the other books are about. Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of everything this word says need to be fulfilled. Do you know that in order to worship God and to be accepted by Him, we have to have a high priest? That has not changed. Brother David was, I believe, yesterday saying, you know, have things changed since the Bible was written? In order to worship God and be accepted by Him, we still have to have a high priest. Christ is our high priest. This word says we have to have an altar. Christ is our altar. We don't come to this table, we come to Christ. This word says we have to have a lamb. Christ is our lamb. This word says the law has to be fulfilled. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. Everything this word has to say, every requirement, every demand, it's all speaking of Christ, all of it. Look with me, if you would, at Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 25. Then He, the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. What did Moses write? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Verse 44. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning Me. Then opened He their understanding. These are disciples that had been with Him for 3.5 years. Verse 45 says, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. What did they understand in that moment? That was all about Christ. That was all about Christ. It was all speaking of Christ. That brazen serpent on the pole. I used to wonder growing up as a kid, why was it a snake? He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why was it a snake? Brother Cody Groover came and preached that message. And he said it was a snake because that's what was killing the people. And Christ was made to be the very thing that was killing the people. That was the venom. That was the cause of death. My cause of death is sin. And Christ was made to be the very thing that was killing His people. And He was lifted up in judgment before God. He said, you look to that as the bearer of your poison, you'll live. Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark. That's not a good story to decorate your nursery with. That's the story of God's judgment on a sinful world that killed all souls, but the ones that were put inside a mediator. Something was between God's judgment and them. God's judgment came down on Noah just like everybody else. But Noah had a mediator between him. And every soul in that mediator lived as Christ. That smitten rock, the law, Moses represents the law. The law struck the rock. And out of that rock flowed living water. That rock is Christ. The Passover lamb. I'm going to pass through. and death is coming to every house. It's not that Israel didn't experience death. Death came to that house just like every other house. But they had a substitute lamb that died for the house. That's Christ. We preach the word of Christ. We don't preach it to be of man. It's of Christ. I'm taking too long. I'm going to speed up. We preach the person of Christ. We preach the word of Christ. We preach the work of Christ. We preach the cross of Christ. All right? Now, here's what that means. Salvation is of the Lord. It is of the Lord. The contrast to that would be preaching that salvation is of man, by the works of man, by the work, by the good deeds, by the self-righteousness of man. Salvation is not by the works of man. It's not by the works of man. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified before God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By grace are you saved through faith. That's just looking to Christ. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is God which worketh in us, both to will and do of His good pleasure. Who? Christ. God. In order to preach the work of Christ, we have to deny the work of man. And we do. We deny the works of man. And here's the reason why. If we preached the works of man, we would have to deny the work of Christ. And God forbid that we deny the work of Christ. Go with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. That's what we preach. Look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks is foolishness. But to those who are saved, it's the only message there is. In chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That means the work is His. That's what it means. The work is Christ's alone. Salvation has never been, and salvation will never be, in the will, the work, or the decision of man. Decide, do you want to be saved or not? It's not man's decision. Salvation's of the Lord. It's His will. It's His work. It's His doing. So we preach the true person of Jesus Christ. We preach the word of Christ. We preach the work of Christ. And number four, we preach the accomplishment of Christ. Now here's the difference. Here's the difference. We don't just preach that He came to do a work. We preach His success in that work. Isaiah 42, God the Father said, He shall not fail. He didn't. John 19:30, Christ said, It is finished. It is. To stand up and preach that man needs to add his work to Christ's is to say it's not finished. That's such black. Man, thinks he's helping God, but he's actually not only blaspheming, but offending. He's saying, you didn't finish it. God forbid. God forbid. Christ accomplished what He set out to accomplish. To say that we need to help Him is to say He's unsuccessful. But He's not unsuccessful. Hebrews 10 says, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, He sat down on the right hand of God. The right hand means the throne of His, the seat of His honor. It's not that there's two thrones. He sat down in the seat of His honor. After He offered one sacrifice, He sat down. Why? It was finished. By one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And Hebrews 4 says, we can now rest from all of our labors because God has rested from His. It's over. It's over. Finished. Done. He was successful in the work He set out to do. So when we preach Christ, we preach the person of Christ. We preach the Word of Christ. We preach the work of Christ. We preach the success of Christ. And therefore, number five, we preach the glory of Christ. Right here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 says, But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He is all. He's our all. He's God's all. He earned all. He has all. Therefore, all the honor, all the credit, all the glory goes to Him. All of it. And to just quickly point out that the contrast to that is man sharing the glory with Him. God forbid. God forbid. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, unto Thy name we give it all. Psalm 115 is the theme of the weekend. We give it all. You have it all. We acknowledge it all. All the glory goes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll leave you with this. This is a little account that reads this way. A vessel was wrecked one stormy night off the coast of England. And all were drowned except an Irish boy. Because the waves swept him onto a great rock. In the morning, he was rescued, and they asked him, Lad, didn't you tremble out there on the rock during the night? He said, Sure, I trembled. But the rock didn't tremble once, all night long. What he's saying is, all the glory goes to the rock. That's what he's saying. All the glory goes to the rock. And that's what preaching Christ is. All the glory goes to Him. May that be our preaching from here on out. May the Lord keep us on Christ crucified from here on out. Lord, don't let us stray. That's our cry. Don't let us leave the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Don't let us go looking for something new. Keep us. Keep us, Lord. Keep us. Every soul who begs that of God is being kept by the power of God. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Appreciate it.